Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by bagging these bongos. Hello and welcome to episode number 90 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. I hope you're all doing fine and dandy out there. This week I'm taking you to meet Martin Green, who as a DJ in the early 90s founded the club Smashin, which was at the epicentre of the Britpop scene. Martin also became features editor of Beige magazine, interviewing various cult figures, artists and actors. In addition, he reviewed plays, shows and events for the publication. In 2012, Martin teamed up with James Lawler and established Duovision to curate exhibitions by undervalued artists, photographers and designers, aiming to engage with a wider audience. Duovision also work extensively with the LGBT creative community. Music, performance and discussion are integral to Duovision, with exhibition soundtracks produced by Mark Almond and Jarvis Cocker. Martin and I had arranged to meet up to record this podcast, but in between arranging it and the date of the podcast, more stringent lockdown procedures come into force and we was unable to meet up, so we decided to record it over Zoom. A couple of the artists at Duovision Champion have appeared on the Ministry of Arts podcast, one being Dougie Fields, the other Lady Pat. And there's also Kellyanne Davitt. She hasn't appeared on the Ministry of Arts podcast, but she was one of the artists on my Face Value 3 exhibition. But rather than me sit here and give too much of Martin's story away, come and hear it from the man himself, Martin Green from Duovision.
I don't know if you've heard any others, but there's...
Yeah, I've listened to a few, yeah.
Throughout each podcast, there's 7 questions that I ask each artist.
Yeah.
The first of them is... How would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
What I do is, and what I've done it with music, and I've done it with art. I've always kind of found people who've kind of been forgotten, whose work has fallen through the cracks, and I've given those people an opportunity to show their work or play their records or put their records onto compilation albums. So I've always been a curator of music since the early 90s and then over the last 8 years. But I've got a similar approach the whole time. I like to find people who've got things shoved in the cupboard that no one's seen and show that work.
And the thing is, there's thousands of those people about, you know. I mean, it's
the same
thing when you might walk into a pub and there's someone up there singing on the stage, and you're like, how haven't these people been noticed before, you know? And there's some god awful person in the charts, you know, and it doesn't.
Well, it's fashion, really. I mean, So I first started DJing in the late 80s, early 90s. And then I ran a club called Smashing, and we used to find all sorts of funny old records in charity shops and junk shops and play all kinds of funny music and create a kind of buzz about this sort of music, which was kind of a bit easy listening, lounge kind of music. Then I did an album, I put a lot of it together for EMI and did an album called The Sound Gallery. And it created a lot of interest in those artists that no one had really heard of.
Yeah.
So, and then it kickstarted the whole easy listening explosion, which happened in the mid 90s from that album. And that was the kind of approach. And then I met James Lawler, that I run Druvision with, probably about getting off 10 years ago at a cabaret event we went to. And we were chatting, and he'd had a partner, and they'd split up, and he was saying how tough it is curating exhibitions by yourself. He's based in Liverpool, I was in London, yeah. West of Lamino. And I said, well, I know loads of artists, we should do something together. So she said, oh yeah, maybe let's see what happens, you know. And then around the same time, we went to the V&A, and the V&A had an exhibition on of postmodernism and the history of postmodernism in design and art. And it was very interesting, a really good exhibition. But the artists who we thought we were fans of, and I knew, who in my mind is the ultimate kind of postmodern artist, because it was work from the sort of from the late 60s into the 70s into the early mid 80s. The artist who was most the most significant pop, postmodern artist was Dougie Fields, and he wasn't in the exhibition.
Yeah.
So. And we were expecting him to be there because, you know, that's exactly what he did. And he started that trend, really, in painting.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there. And we were quite angry about that. So I phoned Dougie up and said, look, would you like an exhibition? So we did an exhibition in Liverpool. And it was his first show for nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
I think it was his first UK show for over 25 years or something. But it was one of his first shows for a long, long time. And we did his show, and it was very successful, and he got a lot of interest. I mean, we thought it was going to be even more successful than it was, but it was fairly successful. But he did get some interest, and it led to other things happening, and now people are more interested in Dougie. But but my thing about it is, the thing is with people like Dougie and some of the music that I was finding in these junk shops and then compiling them, and then they became collected, they were just out of fashion. That's all.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with talent or their brilliance or anything. It's just they went out of fashion and fell through the cracks, and painting went very out of fashion. So when we did Dougie's show, we had some great reviews, and one of them said, Dougie's the missing link between Patrick Caulfield and Julian Opie.
Definitely.
Which, and you know, so, and he was the catalyst, really.
I mean, the thing is, Dougie's like a walking work of art anyway, isn't he, you know?
I just think if he was, I think if he wasn't British, he'd be an enormous star.
Yeah.
He'd be like a Dali or something, you know, he'd be really, really famous, a proper worldwide fame. But I just think he's just too flamboyant and exotic and interesting, really, and colourful for that British art world, which is, so he's kind of at odds with it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making some progress, and his work is selling, and you know, and but he doesn't really play the game. But then why should you play the game?
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think he's one of the great British artists, and he really should be. He should be seen like that. I mean, you know, there should be documentaries on him, books on him, you know, but there's not.
I mean, it was quite funny how I come into contact with Dougie. I know that we've spoke about him previously, but when I was in jail and I just got into art, we had to do an exercise and we had to find an artwork, just find out about that artist somehow, you know, in the prison library and whatnot. And in a Sunday magazine or newspaper, I come across a photograph of Zandra Rhodes, and in the background she had this artwork, which was...
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
And she mentioned Dougie Fields, and a painter from Earl's Court, or a friend who's an artist from Earl's Court. Mm. So I really liked this artwork. It sort of really sort of connected with me, you know. I wrote a letter. Dougie will tell you. I wrote a letter to Dougie Fields, artist, Earl's Court, London. And I plonked it in the post. And a couple of weeks later, you know, a letter turned up from Dougie saying, I don't know how your letter got to me, but... how's that, eh?
Brilliant. Oh, that's really good. No, he's completely deserving. If he should be in the Tate, he should be, you know, he should be a big British star.
Yeah.
You know, star artist, he should be. There's no reason why not. I mean, his work is brilliant. People love it. But it's odd. I mean, he's been working with Toby Webster at the Institute, who's been representing him. And I met Toby at was DJing at a friend's 50th, and we were staying in this hotel, and Toby was staying there. Toby used to come to the club that I used to do in the 90s called Smashing, which was it started in 91, we finished in 96, but it was the club where everything kind of came together. So people like Pulp and Blur and Oasis and all those bands used to come down there, and Damien Hirst and all those people used to come down there. And it was lots of Lee Bowery and all those kind of art people. Everyone used to come down on a Friday night, and it was a real scene, you know. And so Toby used to come down there. We were chatting the hotel. He said, oh, yes, he used to come to Smashing. And then he said, well, he asked what I was doing, and I told him about the Dougie show. And he said, oh, God, Dougie Fields, I forgot all about Dougie. I used to have pictures of his up when I was a kid, like a teenager, in my bedroom. And so I took Toby round to meet Dougie. He wanted to go and see the flats, and that was it. And then they started working together and did a couple of great exhibitions. And so that's been going in well. But it's just amazing how people can just slip through the cracks, really.
Yeah.
But what I love about people like Dougie and other people that we work with is they keep working. You know, it's not just about making money and being fashionable. It's just, you know, they've just got this belief. So that's why we tend to work with a lot of older artists.
He definitely doesn't follow trends, does he? I mean, if you look at his work 20 years ago and look at it today, he's got his style.
No, he's got his style. Oh, he's got his style, he's got his vision, and that's it, you know. That's what I mean. He should be a big... I don't understand it.
If anything, he's just got bolder.
And what's interesting is when we did the shows, we got a lot of young people coming along because we work with some universities in Liverpool, and they really like the work, you know. And although some of them said, who paints the canvases? And we said, Dougie. Oh. And they said, well, he paints all of it. I said, yes, he paints the whole thing, the big canvases.
Yeah.
But that, what, he paints it himself? He said, yes, he paints all of it himself. Oh. It was kind of, I think so many kids are programmed, or not programmed, but encouraged this idea of like production line, you know, artwork and getting people to do things for you. That's, you know, so the artists we like to work with are people that create the work themselves.
Yeah. I mean, this is jumping the timeline a bit, but one of the most recent with Caroline Coon was a pretty big thing, wasn't it, up in Liverpool?
Well, Caroline came to Dougie's show. Caroline came to Dougie's opening up in Liverpool, and we met her, and I knew who she was from a kind of countercultural history.
Yeah.
I didn't know that she painted. And then Dougie said, you should look at Caroline's work about doing an exhibition. So I looked online, and I thought, oh, right, I wasn't that, you know. She got a very poor web page.
Yeah.
At the time, and it didn't look that great. It looked all right, you know. But I trust Dougie. Cut to a few years later, we theme our programs up in Liverpool, and it was 100 years since women got the right to vote. So we thought, we should do a series of exhibitions around that. And I said, we should go and have a look at Caroline's work, because Caroline was a big part of the feminist movement. So, and Dougie did like it. I mean, it didn't look that great online, but we should go and have a look. Anyway, so I phoned her up, And we went round and saw it, and the work was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. I mean, the thing is, when you see work online, sometimes you can see work online and you go and see it in the reality, can be like, oh, you know. Yeah. Or, and other times it has this effect where you can go, oh, my God, it's incredible. So we did this big show, and it was her first ever show. And she, when I phoned her up, she got bin bags. She put all her drawings in bin bags and she was going to throw them out. And she put all her paints away and she's never going to paint again. And she, so we completely saved her life, she says, you know. So, and now, so we did the show and it was very successful. Then I got an email from Peter Doig saying, who used to come to Smashing. Yeah. And he said, oh, I used to get you my favorite DJ. And we were chatting about those things. He said, I really like Caroline. I'd like to be interested in seeing one of Caroline's paintings. So we took Peter over to Caroline's, and then we worked on a show with him in London at Tramps last year, which has been very successful.
Wow.
And she's meant to be showing in New York this year, but that's not happening. But we are showing in she's showing in Margate at Carl Friedman Gallery in 14th of November. So she's had loads and loads of interest, which is brilliant. Yeah. And deservedly so. But again, she it's a fashion thing, because when she was at college, she was a figurative painter. And they said, you've got to do abstract. And she said, no, I want to do figurative. So she used to have to go and have work at home and bring her work in. And then, of course, painting went out of fashion as well, and figurative painting. So they were very marginalised, those people.
Yeah. And what amazing backstory Caroline's got as well.
Oh, she's a legend. You know.
Yeah.
A legend, you know, really incredible.
I mean, I wasn't aware of it, and I can't remember. I may have read an interview with her or heard one somewhere, and my God, she's definitely made me sit up and listen.
Oh no, she's incredible. She's a force, you know, and she's getting recognition, starting to get some recognition, and deservedly so. I mean, it's it's about time they did.
Yeah,
and that came through by Dougie.
And then Peter Doig, he's an amazing artist himself. Was you working with him on that show?
Yeah, we put it together. Yeah, we kind of worked alongside him, and I helped hang the show with him.
I don't mean to keep repeating this, but he was another one that wrote to me while I was away as well, Peter.
Oh really? Yeah. He's brilliant. He's really, really generous, and he's very encouraging. And completely supportive. He really, really, I mean, because the thing is, with what we do, we've only got so much, we can only get so much attention to an artist. I mean, we've got Caroline the Guardian and we've got some bits and pieces, but, we want only at the bottom level. But when you get people like David Webster, Peter Doig championing some of the artists, then it really kind of it helps their career enormously.
Yeah, it just shines a bit of a brighter light on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Jarvis Cocker earlier. You've done an exhibition with Jarvis.
Yeah, we did his first London show, the first UK show in Liverpool, and that got us a lot of attention because our gallery, basically the gallery that we were running, which unfortunately is gone now, was in this backwater, in Liverpool, where no one wanted to go to. And but then, of course, then the area's taken off. And then the landlord decided they want to sell the building.
Of course,
it always happens. But we did Jarvis is an old friend of mine. And we did this exhibition of some of the some artwork he created and some things he collected. And it was a really, really good show. And then we did a Mark Almond show. And that was portraits of Mark Almond by different people. And then Mark said, I've got these collages at home. Do you want to have a look at them? So he brought them in, and they were terrific collages that he had that he creates for moods for album covers. So we framed those up, and they look really good. And so I think, but the thing is, a lot of those people went through art school and but just happened to go into music.
Yeah.
So, but they're still artists. So I see what we do in a very broad way. We did a Pam Hogg exhibition. We've done all sorts of people. But we do tend to like to show people whose work have never been seen.
Yeah.
And work is, an older people.
Yeah, I mean, even like with Jarvis, I mean, everyone's well aware that he went to art school anyway, and it just so happens that his music kicked off. There's so many people that have got their name in one area, but their background and passion is in another.
Yeah, and I like to find, I sort of like to find things that are just tucked away in people's cupboards and people that deserve to be shown. So this exhibition I've got coming up on the 5th of November, opens the 5th at Gallery 46 Whitechapel. It's like a pop art show, and it's five different artists actually. And one of the artists is a guy called Daniel Edwards, and we showed his work in Liverpool, and that was the first time he'd ever shown outside Cardiff, and this is the first time he's ever shown in London.
Excellent.
So it only, and he's a terrific painter, terrific artist. And
is he the guy who showed with Lady Pat?
It showed with Lady Pat. His paintings are incredible, really incredible.
I didn't know of him until I met Pat. Then Pat introduced me to his work.
Yeah, his work's fantastic, and we showed it, and people really loved it. He's brilliant, and he works in the library in Cardiff, and he's a terrific guy, and he does these amazing paintings. Really brilliant. So you'll get to see those from the 5th at the gallery, Gallery Whitechapel.
And Kellyanne Davitt as well.
She's a great artist, you know. We showed her up in an exhibition we did in Stoke. Bex Massey, who's not shown before. And she's one of the artists that that Kelly had shown in one of her group shows. So it's going to be a strong show. We just wanted to have a show around to just cut through the gloom of this time of year with what everything's going on. So we want to do a really bright, vibrant pop, contemporary pop show. Well, it started off in Liverpool with Bone of Pop, and then it's come to London and been extended, called Pop Now. And it's basically kind of pop from a queer perspective, contemporary pop from a kind of queer perspective with LGBT artists, Q artists. Because a lot of the original pop artists were gay, so we wanted to kind of re-examine that.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, I've known Kelly for a few years, and her work has just started to take off in the last year or so. You froze, Martin.
Painting was very out, you know, and painting has become more and more fashionable. So people are painting again. Well, people didn't paint for years. Painting was very out, you know. It was conceptual work, and there were very few painters around. And I think people are painting again.
Yeah, definitely.
There's more painters.
It will never go away. You know, in the mid-80s, mid-90s, they were saying, you know, painting's dead. And that was Damien Hirst who was quite vocal about that. And he's doing his recent big series of paintings at the moment, isn't he?
It's just a statement to make, and then they start painting it again. Yeah. You know. When I went to Frieze a couple of years ago, it was all painting. Everything had gone back to painting. But the problem is there's very few people who are being trained with the skill, painting skills.
Yeah.
Because a lot of life drawing went off the curriculums, and, you know, there's not a lot of art education in schools either, you know. And so I think people get back into training to paint, you know.
Yeah.
Because it was a paint and drawing, you know.
I mean, Bex Massey, who's in Pop Now, I didn't realise her work was paintings. I thought it was collage when I first saw it.
No, painting, yeah. And the same with Daniel. Daniel works from collage. He makes little collages and then paints them.
Yeah.
They're both collage-based, but they make paintings. Yeah. They're very, very talented.
And Pat's work, Lady Pat.
Pat's a video artist, really.
Exactly.
And then we showed some of his work in Liverpool. We did prints from some of his work. And then he decided he wanted to make these paintings out of felt. So he's created work from felt, which is kind of like folky. It's good, really good.
I love them. I absolutely love them.
Yeah, they're great.
Because the video art itself is quite harsh and tight and hard.
Yeah.
And his work, you'd think it was a print. and then you go up to it, and it's made of that soft, delicate material.
Yeah.
It's quite a good juxtaposition.
Yeah,
I love it.
They are. They're great. We did the two of them, him and Daniel, up in Liverpool, and that went very well. So looking forward to seeing how it goes in London.
When's Pop Now? I know you've mentioned it already.
Opens on the 5th of November, Gallery 46 Whitechapel, and it will run for a month.
Excellent. Have you got anything arranged for the new year? I know it's a bit hard at the moment.
Yeah, we've got a series of exhibitions in Liverpool, which we're trying to put on, which were meant to go as part of the biennial last year, but then, of course, the biennial has been postponed. So hopefully that'll happen next year. So everything's just up in the air with all of this. We just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
A lot of council-run spaces, you see, haven't opened up again.
It's so difficult because, you know, people are just scared to open because they're afraid that they're going to have to sort of close up again at the drop of a hat, aren't they, you know?
Exactly. So you put a load of work in, you get a load of people's work together, and then you have to shut. I mean, at the moment, the Tier 2 and the Tier 3 galleries can stay open, so that's all okay, you know. But it is worrying, you know. I mean, London's dead still. It's so quiet everywhere.
Yeah. And, I mean, Eurovision itself, you're saying that you did have a gallery up in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Are you going to stay as a transient gallery now? Because, you know, that's working a lot where you would just hire a space and put a show
in. We've done a few exhibitions in other places. We did one in Paris. We did one in a museum in Stoke. We've done a couple of shows there. And we've worked in different places. It's good to have your own permanent space, really. And we have been looking at somewhere. We're trying to get another permanent space up in Liverpool anyway. So we're looking at a few properties. Liverpool's a great city to work in. You know, there's a lot of galleries, there's a lot of cool people, there's a good sort of art community. Yeah, it's a good place. And we get some funding because we show work out of London.
It's a shame that in London, so many artists are moving away with, you know, terrific rents that they've got to pay in London.
Well, they're all out in Homerton, aren't they? And then out in Stratford, and you know, people headed. But people, so many people were going to the South Coast. Yeah. You know, that's what's happening now. So there's a lot of people, you know, Ramsgate, Hastings, Margate. Things might change. I mean, with what's happening at the moment as well, with everything being empty, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for like pop-up spaces.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
So when I was first started doing clubs and in the early 90s, there'd been a big recession, so you used to get venues for free.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Damien Hirst, all those people were putting on...
I've lost you again, Martin.
But yeah, when I was saying, with the recession, I mean, hopefully there'll be a load of empty spaces coming up and people and artists can start working in London, you know, relatively cheaply. That's the only way it works, you know.
Our conversation has flowed and gone up and down so much. I've forgot to ask the questions that I've got set about. But one of the questions is, if you wasn't in the arts, is there anything you'd like to do? How about a Zoom technician?
What would I do if I weren't in the arts? Well, I always liked it. I like doing was gardening. I used to do a lot of gardening.
Yeah.
And I used to do these community gardening projects and guerrilla gardening. We used to go out at night.
Oh, I like that.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah, nice. I was on country file doing it about years ago. And I could easily do that again. Although I'm not as fit as I was 10 years ago, so I've got a bit of a bad back on it. But outdoors, I think.
Nice. So we've spoke about yourself meeting up with James to create Eurovision.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd want to?
I'm sure there's. I'm always doing something or other. You know, I've always got something on the go.
And is there anything else on the go that you've got that you or any ideas of something you want to create? And
well, I'm talking about doing the club that I did Smashing was a very sort of. So I did an album earlier this year called Supersonics, Junk Shop Britpop. And it was sort of bands who never had any big successes, but were part of that sort of mid-90s, early to mid-90s scene, that all used to play at our club.
Yeah.
They used to hang out there. So I did this album, and it did very well, and I did lots of interviews about it. And people have not really looked at the 90s in terms of, you know, obscurities. You know, they've always looked at the 90s as hits, you know. So I'm the first person to kind of really dig deep in, find forgotten gems from the 90s.
Yeah.
And so in the process of doing that, I found lots of photographs. So now there's talk about doing a book of photos from that sort of 90s
scene.
With an exhibition as well.
Super.
Because people aren't really looking at the 90s. You know, the 60s have been done, the 70s and 80s. People haven't quite looked at the 90s.
No.
They don't quite know how, what way to look at it, you know? I mean, the thing about, if you look at, like, the 60s and 70s, the bands that were the most successful bands were the coolest bands.
Yeah.
You know, there was lots of other bands that weren't, you know, weren't as successful that were cool. But, you know, the Beatles, Stones, the Kinks, you know, the Beach Boys were amazing records, and they still sound brilliant. And then the 70s, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, you know, Sex Pistols, whatever. They're amazing records and amazing artists and important. And then into the 80s, I suppose you've got the Human League and those kind of things, and you've got Happy Mondays and then into Stone Roses, you've got all that kind of stuff. And but in the 90s, it all goes a bit odd because you've got the Britpop thing.
Yeah.
Which didn't and the really...
rave, the rave scene took over as well, didn't it?
The rave stuff was a bit, the rave thing, but house had already been around in the 80s.
Yeah.
But the 90s was a funny period. So you had big bands, like the big bands of the 90s were like Robbie Williams and the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
So it went really pop, you know. I mean, and they weren't, and the Spice Girls weren't cool, you know, they were just kind of trashy pop band.
Exactly.
And then you've got like Pulp, who were cool, but they weren't mega big, you know, they were popular, but they didn't really break America or anything like that. Oasis were big, but then they only really had a couple of good albums that kind of went off a bit.
Yeah.
So everything's a little bit weird with the 90s. I think people are trying to work out what to dig out from the 90s to sort of reappraise, you know?
I mean, talking of groups like that are sort of under the radar, as you like, a couple of weeks ago, I had Mikey Georgeson on.
Yeah, I put him on the album.
Oh, did you?
He used to play he's on the Supersonics. And he used to play at Smashing a lot. They're always really good fun, really, really good.
I mean, I've not been to many gigs. I'm a bit funny with crowds. And my friend Lee talked me into going to one of David DeVant's gigs about 15 years ago or something.
Oh, okay.
And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, brilliant. It was superb.
It was an experience. It was an all-encompassing visual and audio experience for definite.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to show with the album I did. I just wanted to show there was a lot of... The 90s was one of the last periods where you still had that route from art school into music.
Yeah.
So a lot of those bands like Pulp and Blur and Dave Devon and all those, there's a lot of bands that were art school attitude and approach. So I wanted to kind of to show that and show look, there was a lot of this was what was happening in the 90s, and it wasn't all about lads and football and Oasis and that kind of thing, you know, Spice Girls and Loaded or something, you know. It was, you had this kind of art schooly avant-garde thing that went along as well.
Superb. I look forward to it. Well,
yeah.
I think it's probably best if we wrap up round about there before we have any more interruptions. So thanks again for your time, Martin.
And we'll arrange to meet up down at Whitechapel.
Are you having a soft opening or a normal?
Yeah, we're gonna do like a kind of, you know, you can book to go along, but just let me know and we'll make sure you can get in. So
yeah, brilliant, mate. Thank you so much for your time. And loved speaking to you.
You too.
All the best, mate.
Catch up, you too.
Thank you.
Cheers, Gary.
See you later. Bye-bye.
There we have it, Martin Green from Duovision. How cool was that? Not only did we get to speak about some amazing visual artists, but we had a couple of iconic musicians too. We spoke about Caroline Coon in this podcast. That is one artist I really would like to get on here. If you don't know of her backstory, man, it's something to hear. As Martin mentioned there, Pop Now is on at Gallery 46 in Whitechapel from the 5th to the 29th of November. And it's an exhibition of how pop art has influenced four LGBT artists, being Kellyanne Davitt, Lady Pat, Daniel Edwards and Bex Macy. And if you want any more information, you can go to duovisionarts.com or their Instagram page, which is duovision_arts. And I'm definitely going to be there for the opening, and I hope Dougie is too. Next week's podcast is going to be something a little bit different. It was recorded with an artist from Washington, D.C. in early August as the BLM protests were happening. It really is a story you don't want to miss. And on the date of the release of this podcast, you've got just 2 days left to purchase one of my barbed wire dark stars at the pre-order price of £85 plus postage before they go up to £99 plus postage. They're all in an edition of 30 and the matte black ones have all but gone. But they're also available in gold, copper, white, silver and red. So that's about it for this week. But like I say every week, on whichever platform you listen to this podcast, you should be able to leave a comment. If you could do that, that really does help us to get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast. So, thanks for listening, and until next week, ta-da!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.